Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com. Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu.
We're going to talk about two issues involving voting in Wisconsin this hour with a guest from the League of Women Voters. There was another ruling this week against the state's voter ID law, and a Republican state lawmaker wants to purge non-citizens from Wisconsin's voter registration lists. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July 19th. We'll welcome your questions about both issues. Do you think that voter fraud is a significant problem in Wisconsin, or do you think that this is an effort to suppress voting? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest, Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin Education Network, which advocates for informed and active participation in government. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're prompted to talk with you about both of these issues, but we also did place a call to Senator Mary Lazic, who wants the state's voter registration list cross-checked against a Homeland Security database in an effort to purge non-citizens from the state's voter registration lists. And we did place a call to her, invited her to be on the program to talk about why she thought this was important. She had a scheduling conflict and declined our invitation. So we want to know why you think this is a bad idea. She says she cannot imagine why anyone would argue against this common sense plan.
Well, any purge of a voter list is serious business because we're talking about people's right to vote. To do it a month before an election, we've got our primary election coming up in August, to do it at that time can lead to serious problems and can invalidate the registrations of qualified registered voters.
How can it do that?
What the senator proposes to do would be to do database matching between our statewide voter registration database and a database by the Homeland Security Department, the federal one, that would find matches between people who are registered to vote in Florida and people who are not citizens who are here legally, who are in the state. We all know how good a database can be, and once your name is in there, it may be misspelled, and then it looks like somebody else's name. You may have the same name as somebody else. Databases are created and the data is entered by humans, and so we have errors. And then when you try to take it another level and do matching, you create more errors. In fact, Florida did this with some other databases and generated thousands of letters that went to qualified registered voters and citizens, telling them that that the state of Florida was suddenly questioning their citizenship and they had to prove their citizenship then before voting. Imagine getting one of those letters when you're a good citizen who's been voting all along, and all of a sudden they want you to go that next step, which you might have the documentation somewhere in your home, or you might not, and you might have to go out and get it. And to do this shortly before an election is uncalled for, unneeded, and can lead to major problems.
Let me have you respond to her other statement that after recent incidents, many have justifiably questioned Wisconsin's election administration. Checking voter rolls for non-citizens is simply a way to restore faith in the process.
I guess it seems to me that if the faith in the process of Wisconsin elections is shaky, it's because there's been a campaign in recent weeks by a handful of legislators who have been spreading rumors, unsubstantiated allegations, and innuendo. What recent incidents is she talking about?
Well, I'll take a shot at that. Yes, some Republican lawmakers have pointed to what they call voting irregularities in Racine County in the recall race in that Senate district, like people not signing the voter roll when you vote, bags of votes that apparently had been improperly opened or sealed or something.
Well, those are some problems. The elections are run by humans, and there's human error. Some people didn't sign the voter polls, the voter list. They should have done that. The election officials should have made sure that they did that, but there was human error, and that should not disqualify those people's votes. As for ballot bags, yes, sometimes ballot bags break. Sometimes they are unsealed for legitimate reasons, and there's a procedure for doing it that ensures transparency and accountability when it's done. And the investigation of these allegations by the State Government Accountability Board and also by the Racine County Sheriff found no wrongdoing. They found errors. They found ways in which people can improve the system next time around. They found nothing that should invalidate or discredit anyone's vote.
Yeah. Do you? There's no evidence, you say, of massive voter fraud happening in Wisconsin.
That's correct. There's no evidence of any kind of organized voter fraud. In fact, despite a lot of people looking very hard, including our attorney general, and he has a task force looking for his election integrity task force. He's had agents out in the polls. They have not come up with one case of voter impersonation at the polls, which is the only thing that a voter ID law could possibly prevent.
What about, and I want to talk about the voter ID ruling too, but do we have any idea if there are a number of non-citizens voting in our elections in Wisconsin?
We have nothing to suggest that there are a substantial number, if any, non-citizens voting in our elections. And when you think about it, that wouldn't be too surprising, because if you're a non-citizen, if you're here, whether you're here legally as a guest or not, if you're undocumented, the last thing you're going to want to do is draw attention to yourself and commit a felony that might make it so that you have to leave. That might threaten the welfare of your family members who are here. What is the incentive to do that for one vote? As important as we all know that every vote is, would you risk that for one vote?
David Menominee, Michigan, emails, aren't there rules about changing voter rules so close to an election?
Yes, the National Voter Registration Act requires that you can't purge the voter rolls within 90 days of an election. Now, you could argue that in Wisconsin we've barely had 90 days without an election in the last year.
Right.
So, but the Florida has to live by the National Voter Registration Act, and so there are some people, this is in court, and there are some people who are saying that is illegal in Florida. Wisconsin is not an NVRA state because we have election day registration, but we still have, to do something like this that is bound to lead to lots of errors within a month before an election just makes no sense, and may be illegal. I am not sure about the legalities there.
Let me jump in because I wanted to ask you, I'm going to kind of combining both of these issues, voter ID and this voter purge idea. For this hour, we had this week another ruling, a second ruling by another Dane County judge who says that Wisconsin's voter ID law is unconstitutional and permanently barring its implementation. There will be an appeal of that. You, the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin, brought one suit that resulted in a similar unconstitutional ruling. I believe this second suit was brought by the NAACP and Voces de la Frontera. Your reaction to this second ruling that it's unconstitutional?
Well, we're delighted. Now, two courts have heard both sides of the issue, and they have both found that the ID law violates the state constitution. Our state constitution, unlike the federal constitution, has a clear suffrage section which explicitly protects the right to vote. And it's very clear that this law violates that section. The League of Women Voters lawsuit was based upon the fact that in Article 3, the suffrage section, it says you are allowed to vote in Wisconsin if you are a U.S. citizen, at least 18 years of age, and a resident of the state. And then it gives the legislature specific limited power to pass certain kinds of laws that define residency. So last year when the legislature increased the residency requirement from 10 days up to 28 days, well, we at the League didn't like that, but we recognized that the legislature had the authority to do it, so that wasn't part of our lawsuit. The legislature can pass laws dealing with absentee voting and voter registration. And it specifically says that the legislature may pass laws, doesn't have to, but may pass laws that exclude from voting two named classes. One would be felons who are still on extended supervision. They're on parole in the community or on parole, still on papers. Or they may exclude people who've been ruled incompetent by a judge. But what we argued was that that law, the voter ID law, actually created a third class of otherwise qualified citizens who couldn't vote and have it counted, and that would be anybody who doesn't have an ID. You could be a U.S. citizen, at least 18, a resident of the state, not a felon, not incompetent, but you still couldn't vote if you didn't have one of a short list of government-issued IDs.
We are talking with Andrea Kaminsky. She is Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin Education Network. We're talking with her about a couple of different issues in the news this week regarding voter ID in Wisconsin and a Republican lawmaker who wants the state's voter registration list cross-checked against a Homeland Security database to purge non-citizens. We welcome your questions, your reactions to both of those issues at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We welcome your thoughts on whether or not you agree or disagree with the courts who have ruled that Wisconsin's voter ID requirement is unconstitutional. And we wonder if you think it's a good idea or not to be checking the voter registration lists in Wisconsin against the Homeland Security's list. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking our weather forecast for today, scattered rain in eastern Wisconsin this morning, some areas of fog in western and southern Wisconsin, then decreasing clouds, turning mostly sunny, highs will be in the 70s and 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 this morning, we will talk with the author of the book Hot Sauce. And guess what? We'll be talking about hot sauces and hot foods. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we are talking about voter purges and voter ID with our guest from the League of Women Voters. And our first caller is Linda in Monroe. Hello, Linda.
Good morning, Joy. Great program. Good morning, Andrea. I don't think there is much voter fraud. I agree with the League of Women Voters. I think the number of eligible voters is low, and all the Republicans are trying to do is make it harder to vote for the ones that are eligible, particularly the elderly who have lived in the communities for years and years. And I think the Republicans ought to be ashamed of themselves, including Attorney General Van Hollen.
All right. Thank you, Linda. Are Republicans trying to make it harder for people to vote? Andrea Kaminsky.
Well, I can't get inside their heads, but that is the effect of what they're doing. It makes it much more difficult to vote. Many of the changes in our new election law last year, which brought about many changes in addition to the voter ID requirements, have made it more difficult for regular citizens to cast a vote and have it counted. They've also made it just so confusing for our election officials at the polls. Excuse me. When you think about who is at the polls, they are volunteers for the most part, or people who are paid a very modest stipend. They're citizens, and they have a much bigger job now with a lot of complexity, and the result is that it is more difficult to vote. People are worried about breaking the law. They're worried about committing a felony. But the league is determined to let people know how to vote and to help make the situation in the polls that much better.
Thank you, Linda. Nate in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Nate.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Good morning.
My question was, I was just wondering, how do you prove who you say you are if you do not bring a photo ID? In a day and age where it's so easy to steal someone's identification and their life, for that matter, how do I say that I'm Nate and at the polls and don't say my name is Andrew and, you know, vote for a friend who couldn't make it? That's not legal, but my photo ID would prove that's who I am.
Yeah. All right. So, how do you prove who you are at the polls if you don't show an ID?
Well, if you have already registered to vote, which you have to do, then you have to provide some kind of proof of who you are, and you have to establish. You know, you have to prove your residency. You have to establish who you are, prove your residency. You take an oath that says that if you do, if you're doing anything dishonestly, you are committing a felony, which is punishable by up to 3 years of prison, $10,000. It's a very serious offense. The same is true when you go into a polling place. You are by saying that name and saying the address, you are establishing who you are, and then that you're the person who lives at that address. And again, you are under penalty of a felony. I can't imagine who would do that for an extra vote, for one extra vote. So first of all, there's the incentive or motive. I mean, we all know watching crime shows or whatever, you have to find a motive before it's credible that people will do something. But nonetheless, okay, let's say somebody could get away with that. They could try that. But then we have a system to catch people. We have people who are out there waiting for this to happen, who are checking for it. We have observers in the polls. We have our Attorney General's Election Integrity Task Force. You know, and yet they haven't found a single case of this, of voter impersonation. So does it make sense? Is there any common sense in passing a law that has made it much more difficult and in some cases impossible for some eligible citizens, some of whom have been voting for decades, to be able to vote, which costs millions of dollars a year to implement. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is it really, though, that hard for people to have a photo ID? That's the argument, is that, you know, that, you know, everybody needs photo IDs to, you know, whatever, cash a check.
Well, cashing a check, renting a video, things like that, are not specifically protected in our state constitution. Those are privileges. Voting is a right. It is a very, very fundamental right which must be guaranteed. Besides that, the list in the Wisconsin voter ID law was the most restrictive in the nation in terms of what kinds of ID would be acceptable. People sometimes say that the U.S. Supreme Court, they point out, well, U.S. Supreme Court supported the Indiana voter ID law. Well, the Indiana ID law has a provision by which somebody, if you don't have ID, you can sign a sworn affidavit saying, I don't have an ID, but I swear I am the person I say I am under penalty of, committitting a felony. And so it offers people an opportunity.
Let's hold it there. We have news coming up from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about a couple of news issues regarding voting in Wisconsin. There's been another ruling against the state's voter ID law. A second Dane County judge has permanently barred the implementation of the voter ID law, saying it is unconstitutional. And there's also an issue of trying to purge Wisconsin's voter registration lists of non-citizens. Our guest talking about both of these issues, Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin Education Network. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Republican State Senator Mary Lazic wants the state's voter registration list cross-checked against a Homeland Security database to purge non-citizens. We are talking with a guest who says this is unnecessary and could hurt eligible voters. And we are also talking about the recent ruling by a Dane County judge that Wisconsin's voter ID law is unconstitutional. A second judge has ruled this. And we welcome your thoughts and questions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, July 19th. Our guest is with the Wisconsin League of Women Voters, Andrea Kaminsky. Our number is 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Jason in Watertown is with us. Hello, Jason.
Hi. I'd like to say that what would she think of the idea of making both sides of the parties happy by, yes, let's have the voter ID law, but instead of implementing it right away, give people a time limit of you got 5 years to go do this, and we'll still give you the ID for free. We'll come help you get what you need to get the ID, but you have 5 years to do it. This will make both sides of the parties happy.
Would it, Andrea Kaminsky?
Well, I think that we need people like Jason in the legislature. You know, people who want to try to address the interests of two sides of an issue, or more, in many cases, there are many sides of an issue, and want to make things work. And, there are ways to make it work. There are ways that make it more fair. So that it doesn't favor people who already have an ID, and for them life is easy. They're used to whipping it out for all kinds of activities that other people don't even do. And so, what could we do to make this something that would ease the fears of one side and make it fair. That's the thing, is that you can't just enact something that deals with voting that puts one group at an advantage and others at a challenge.
Yeah, we have on Facebook Trina, who writes, I would support a bill or the law if it was easy for everyone to get a photo ID. However, it is dang near impossible for some people to get one. They have no birth certificate. They have no money to obtain a birth certificate. Their DMV office is only open on the fifth Wednesday. They've no vehicle to go and obtain one. They work during the DMV hours, etc. I think voter ID laws were made to keep certain people from voting, as voter fraud is not really an issue. A reaction to that?
Well, I agree with that, that it's that it is a system that inherently favors certain people, and it's very hard or impossible for some people to get an ID, especially older people. They may not, you know, if you're older, if you were born at home, if you're older and you're African American, you were from the South, you there may not be a birth certificate out there for you to get.
Yeah, and I believe
then
this.
There are several states that there are actually a dirty dozen states that absolutely require that you provide a government issued photo ID in order to get your birth certificate, which you need to get your ID.
Now that's a catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The way it stands now, though, because of this second ruling barring the implementation of voter ID in Wisconsin, the Department of Justice in Wisconsin will appeal this decision, but this means no voter ID or photo ID is needed for the elections coming up.
That's how it appears. You know, I'm not a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
Though I'm on a real learning curve these days, but it appears that very likely that we've got two permanent injunctions. It seems as though it would be virtually impossible to overturn both injunctions before August and probably before November.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to Jason's point, I'm just wondering if you, with the League of Women Voters, think that Wisconsin's voter ID law would be okay if it had this clause that Indiana's has. Didn't you say that if you just if you don't have a photo ID, you swear who you are, and that's good enough?
That would be that would certainly be an improvement. I'm not, you know, I don't know that we would jump behind mm-hmm. that without more study, but our lawsuit says that, you know, it's valid for the state to want to be sure that voters are who they say they are. There are different ways to do that. This is a way. The current law, which is now suspended. But that was an unacceptable way mm-hmm. of doing that.
Our next caller is Jared in Milwaukee. Hi, Jared. Hi, Jared. Are you there? Oh, too bad. Jared wanted to talk about stopping students from voting. This is particularly hard. The voter ID law is particularly hard for students to follow.
Well, in addition to identifying who you are, you have to know, you have to, in order to register to vote, you also have to prove where you live. Students move frequently. There's also the fact that students are, many of them are from out of state, but they're living in Wisconsin for 4 years and often more, and they're participating in our society and our communities, and they have the right to vote here in Wisconsin. You know, under federal law and under Wisconsin law, they are allowed to vote here. And the problem is, if they have a driver's license from out of state, well, that won't work. Under if the voter ID law were in effect, that would not be acceptable. So the voter ID law also included a provision that that would allow students to use a student ID, a Wisconsin student ID, to vote. But when the law was passed, at that time there was not a single college or university in the state that issued a student ID card that actually would comply with the law. So that was going to require major changes. Then there was a question of whether technical college and two-year college ID cards would be acceptable. But, you know, and why should, doesn't that seem rather unfair that four-year college cards would be and not two-year cards, and they had to have a two-year expiration date anyway? So that didn't make sense. Then with that, if a student uses a student ID card, the student would also have to bring proof of current enrollment. And it's just, especially for students where a lot of their bills and things like that come online, they may use as their permanent address for business type things. They use their parents' house, which may be out of state or certainly may be outside the particular municipality where they want to vote. It's very hard for students. And between the May 5th, or I guess it was May 8th, recall primary and the June 5th election, you had thousands of students who moved and changed address, and they were really caught up with a 28-day
residency requirement.
Yeah, they were caught up in
And that actually, though, that used to be 10 days, and now it's 28 days, and that is in effect. That has not been put on hold because of the voter ID stuff.
Correct. Yeah. Wisconsin Act 23 had many new provisions, that signing the poll book. They have new deadlines for absentee voting and also that 28-day residency requirement. All those things are still in place.
Let's take another call. Mark in Oconomowoc. Hello, Mark.
Good morning. This voter ID thing has been tossed around, and to me it's quite obvious that it is obviously a ploy to disenfranchise voters. But I do get tired of the fact that nobody ever seems to put forth the very simplistic opposition. If it were me, I would say, okay, if you believe there's voter fraud, let's do the simple thing. Out by me, I know I walk in, I give them my name, and they look me up in a list, and they hand me a little number that tells me what person who's voting, 125. Well, let's just put a simple security-type camera behind that person's shoulder, so when they hold up that number 125, there's my smiling face, and on I go. And if there's any voter fraud, then we can very easily go back, and we can check and see if that's the person who actually voted or not. You do that for a couple of years, and then you tell the Republicans, if there's voter fraud, which we can now prove, because we would have all this evidence of the thousands of people that are voting fraudulently, and then we'll instate the voter ID. And I'm pretty sure that what you would find is there would be none.
Well, that's an idea. It's an innovative idea.
Thank you, Mark. You know, there were some conservative media research groups and outlets that went around with the video camera to voting places to prove how easy it would be to vote without to say you were someone else and vote without your ID. They would go up to the volunteer and say, I'm Eric Holder, for example, the Attorney General of the United States, and they would be given their ballot, and then they'd say, oh no, I forgot my ID, I'm not going to vote, and they'd walk out. They were committing a crime, apparently, saying that, but they were trying to show how easy it would be to do that.
Yeah, and they were committing a crime, and they were caught. In New Hampshire, some of them, this happened, and they actually submitted the ballots and they were caught. I think that we have good systems in place, and there are ways to prosecute this within the system. And given how many people are watching for just that kind of impersonation, just that kind of felony.
Yeah, and doing a media stunt is different than someone actually doing this in reality.
That's right. That's right.
Andrea Kaminsky is with the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin Education Network. We are talking about voter ID as a second Dane County judge has issued a permanent injunction against Wisconsin's voter ID law, declaring it unconstitutional. And we're also talking about a request by a Republican state senator who wants the state's voter registration list cross-checked against a Homeland Security database to purge non-citizens. We're welcoming your thoughts, your questions about both of these issues and about the issue of voter fraud and disenfranchisement in general. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking the weather forecast for today, scattered rain in eastern Wisconsin this morning, then decreasing clouds, turning mostly sunny with highs in the 70s and 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, do you crave spicy food? We will talk with a guest who certainly does, and she will talk about different techniques for making your own hot sauce, as well as some recipes for spicy foods. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking about voting issues in Wisconsin for the rest of this hour. Kim in Waupun is with us next. Hi, Kim.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I think we should judge them by their actions and not their words. I love my state. I love that we were able to go to the polls on the day and show them our utility bill to prove who we were, and then we were able to vote. I don't understand what the issue is. Five people that accidentally committed fraud because they didn't know they were felons and they were on paper and they couldn't vote. I mean, this is ridiculous. I think J.B. Van Hollen is wasting our money. I love that judge. Love that judge. Thank you, judge. Love you very much for doing this because they are disenfranchising us from voting. And I don't agree with it at all.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you very much, Kim. We heard Kim's point of view. Let's listen now to Jeff in Appleton, though, who has a different point of view. Jeff?
Important things aren't always easy to do. And if voting is important, then you'll find a way to do it. When you look at and say that voter fraud doesn't happen, right now there are no controls in place to prove it doesn't happen or it does happen. So what we need is we need an election or two with some type of controls to see if it happens, to see if the results change, to see if we see a change in the results of the election. It's right now we have no controls to know if it happens.
And you say voter ID is the control, Jeff?
It is a control. It's something. Right now there's nothing. I can walk up and say I'm whoever I want, and as long as they're on the log, I can sign the book, and I can vote. There's no control to it. There's no way to prove if it happens or doesn't happen.
All right. There is voter fraud, Jeff says, Andrea Kaminsky, but there's no way to really prove it.
Well, I guess I would take issue with the idea that there's no control because, first of all, in the registration process, there is control. In the voting process, there is control. You are risking a felony if you break the law. And there's also this thing, and we have not seen people come and say somebody voted in my place and my name, unless it's been able to be explained. Later they find out that some poll worker marked it wrong on one of the lists or something like that. And it's very difficult with this system where people say, well, there's no reason that we have no evidence, no facts saying that voter impersonation is a problem in our polls. And then people say, well, but there's no proof that it isn't. But I think, with public policy, you don't pass a law that does disenfranchise real people, and this second permanent injunction on the voter ID law had examples of real people who have been either left out in the cold because there's no, because they can't get the documentation, or they've had to go through an unbelievable process to get it. And it's costing millions of dollars per year. Why not spend that money, given that, that the problems, over and over again, we find that the problems at the polls have to do with simple human error. And why not spend that money that was slated to go into voter ID on positive reform and provide more training, more resources to make the jobs of the local clerks and their election officials, their election day officials, better and help them be more accurate and they by and large in our statewide election observer program, we've seen that election officials are professional, friendly people who are committed to helping people vote, and they really want to do things right. But there's confusion about some of the new laws. It's so complicated about what's allowed and what isn't as far as voter registration goes. They need better training. They need more time. The clerks need better resources in order to train their local officials. That's where we need reform.
Jan emails from Appleton. I am surprised that the League of Women Voters is not interested in the integrity of our vote. Voter fraud, once that vote is cast, is almost impossible to prove. People have had over a year to get a photo ID. If they have a way to get to the polls, they certainly can find a way over a year's time to obtain a simple photo ID.
Well, people don't always have a way to get to the polls, and they vote absentee, but they have to go in person to get a DMV office, which may only be open a few hours a week. It may be, you know, somewhere far away in the county. They may be disabled, and they can't get there. If they are older, they need to provide. A birth certificate. If they're older, that may cost them significant money, and there may not be one out there at whatever county they were born in, whatever state. If they're women, there's a differential effect on women here, because if you're a woman and you have changed your name when you got married, then you not only have to provide a birth certificate, you also have to provide a marriage certificate or something that explains why your name doesn't match your birth certificate. It's a significant problem, and I believe that the integrity of our elections depends on equal and fair participation by all eligible citizens.
Yeah.
And that's really what integrity of elections are all about.
Teresa in Green Bay, very briefly, as we're almost out of time.
Hi, thanks, Joy. And
good morning.
You just said right there, we have to have ID for just about anything. My husband tried to change his Social Security card because it's wrong, and he had to have a valid, not just the original birth certificate, he had to have one that was stamped, so we had to get that for Social Security. And you said right there, if they don't have a valid ID, do it absentee. You can vote by mail. We did our last election. There is no reason why you can't vote by mail.
You don't need a photo ID to vote by mail. We only have
yes,
a minute.
Yes, under Wisconsin Act 23, you did need a photo ID to vote by mail. You had to send a photocopy of the front and back of your photo ID. And there was a lot of question about why, because given that the person who receives your ballot and your ID doesn't have you in front to compare the picture to, but that was a requirement of that law.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Lots of interest still in this issue. I guess it's still to come. But as of now, we don't think that there will be any need for a picture ID at the polls this fall.
Right.
All right. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin Education Network. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing the hour. Thanks to Naya Mukherjee for on-air production and Rob Ferret for on-air direction. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.